Welcome to the Philharmonic Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 8:55 British Summer Time. Today is October 11th. Today in Asia, the Hang Seng was stronger by 2.4%. The A-share market was stronger by a tad. The Chinese banking sector on the mainland opened up really quite strong and gave up the majority of its advance. But in Hong Kong, just about all of the Chinese banks listed in Hong Kong posted upward dynamics. Now, they have been particularly oversold, and they have paused at least. Today's upward dynamics suggest that a relief rally is getting underway. The majority of the rest of Asia was also in positive territory today. Particularly markets like Singapore, Taiwan, the Philippines has bounced back particularly emphatically. Indonesia has pushed right back up towards its 200-day moving average. The more financially led markets, such as Singapore, have been particularly oversold. They remain oversold relative to their 200-day moving averages. They've probably experienced more technical damage than other markets. They're going to need more support building, a bit more time to encourage people back into those markets. But they are also the most oversold. They have the greatest potential to have a bounce back in terms of percentage move. When one compares some of those deeply oversold markets to those that are a number now in Europe and on Wall Street, well then, those markets have already closed their overextensions relative to the 200-day moving averages. The big question now is whether the Dow and the S&P, the FTSE, for example, are going to hold the gains that they made last week. We've had almost 1 week up and 1 week down, but when you start to look at the FTSE, for example, this is at least two consecutive weeks on the upside, and that's positive. We haven't had two consecutive weeks on the upside in a while, and it's small things like that tend to help to bolster confidence. A day where the market isn't moving 3% either up or down is a positive, and it suggests that a certain amount of calm is beginning to return. Now, if we start to see downward dynamics from the upper sides of these ranges, then that is going to increase the potential that we're going to go right back down and test the lower side of the range. The extent of volatility has been really quite alarming for the majority of investors. The amount of money that is being thrown around within these ranges, where you have massive dynamics, incredibly sharp rallies from the lower side of their ranges, incredibly sharp declines from the upper side of the range, is alarming. And if we start to see a decrease in that amount of volatility and gains being held, then that will be viewed as positive, and investors can begin to take confidence from that. When one looks at the flip side and looks at the sovereign bond markets, well, US Treasuries fell from 146 to 139 and change in here. They were stronger by about a point in here today. They're still below 140 as of the close in here today, so they're off their peak of the day. The likelihood that a medium-term peak has been reached in the sovereign bond markets, and by that I mean in US Treasuries, UK gilts, German bunds, the Swiss 10-year, Canadian, Australian 10-years, I think is quite high. There is a remarkable amount of commonality across those markets. There's a big US Treasury auction on Thursday. How that the results of that and where the market decides to go subsequent to that is likely to have quite a large bearing. It's not beyond the bounds possibility that primary dealers are seeking to get the best possible yield they can and have been selling treasuries in advance of making rather large purchases in a couple of days' time. So let's see what happens at this auction. If we continue to see prices holding at comparatively weak levels and a move extended beyond the decline that we've had over the last week, then that will certainly bolster the evidence that US Treasuries have hit a medium-term peak. they remain really quite overextended relative to their 200-day moving average. They've definitely lost a bit of upside momentum, and we're starting to see downward dynamics creeping in here. So that's all suggestive that, in terms of the technical picture, that a peak has been reached. If we can conclude that that the chances are more likely than not that a peak has been reached in terms of the number one safe haven asset, then that would suggest that the risk side of the trade is probably close to a bottom. And that would certainly be the conclusion that we could draw, particularly from the Nasdaq, the S&P, the Dow, and the FTSE. And it's looking increasingly likely that the DAX and a number of those other European markets may also have hit medium-term peaks in here, and not to mention the majority of Asian markets. The Chinese are beginning to intervene to support their banking sector. The A-share market is a policy-driven market. The majority of sectors that dominate that market are very much tied to the industrial complex or to the property complex. And China's growth is dominated by investment. So policy changes at a government level can make a meaningful difference to that market. And the A-share market has been waiting for some form of catalyst. It's certainly not expensive at these levels. There's been a terrible headwind in terms of increased supply. The banks have had to raise additional capital to set aside more cash because of the extraordinarily high reserve ratios that are in the sector right now. 21.5% is no joke in terms of the amount of money that a bank has to set aside for non-performing loans. And the release of non-tradable shares has finally run its course. It's taken 2 years. There has been an explosion of supply that has been weighing on this market. It's finally being dissipated over the last few months, and that means that the market is waiting for a catalyst. People are really quite afraid of what's going to happen in China, and the government is aware of that. The problems with the private lending sector are a new story in the rest of the world. They're not a new story in China. This isn't something that people didn't know about. Everybody knows about this. So the government, through its sovereign wealth funds, are beginning to buy an increasing share of the banking sector. That's a positive. We don't know yet just how much they're going to put into these banks, but if it turns out that they're going to recapitalize these banks, if they are going to put a floor under the sector, well, it's by far the largest sector on the A-share market. That is again a positive. It could potentially be the catalyst that this market has been waiting for. Now, something that has been a factor in the Chinese markets is that it does go through these periods where it has been the worst performing market for a number of years. That was certainly the case in 2005 when the government moved to support the market and put a floor under it. That set off one of the truly great rallies in the Chinese market. The market basically went from 1,000 to 6,000 in 18 months, and that was the best performing market in the world for a year and a bit. It subsequently turned into the worst performing market. In 2009, it was the best performing market, following it was one of the first to rallied emphatically, almost doubled in the space of 9 months, and subsequently turned into one of the worst performing markets. There is a cyclicality to this. It's not a massive logical leap to anticipate that China is due a rally. The valuations on the A-share market are at a level which is commensurate with where rallies have taken place before. So even though sentiment is really quite bearish of China and the banking sector in particular, you can look at those Hong Kong listed shares that I posted today. They have become deeply oversold, but by definition they're also cheaper. And we are starting to see some government intervention. It's not such a logical leap that we could see the beginnings of a rally happening in China. If you look at the rest of Asia, the majority of markets have also had a big pullback. They also appear to have found at least short-term support in here. This, following such a large decline, is a relatively low-risk environment. The perception of risk is always greatest at the bottom. But we've already had the big declines. If one is investing in anything at this stage, then it's considerably closer to the bottom than it was only a few months ago. On a trading perspective, it's a lot easier to buy following a big decline because your stop can be a lot closer. If you're buying something that's already had a big rally, then you have to give it room because there is an increased likelihood that it's going to pull back and consolidate. So the risk is lower here. The perception of risk is extraordinarily high. I've had a large number of extraordinarily bearish reports across my desk in the last while. In the commodity markets, this was a pivotal day for, or potentially a pivotal day for, a number of the grain and beans. Wheat was stronger by 49 cents, corn by 40, and soybeans by 58. Now, all of those have pulled back. Wheat to the lower side of its range, corn to the 600 level that was also an area of previous support. Soybeans has probably had the biggest decline of all. They've all posted upward dynamics. You'll see John McIntosh's email and comment of the day today. He believes that the USDA is very wide of the mark in terms of its estimates of the US yields. The fact that markets are rallying in here today would suggest that people are positioning for a rather negative outcome to the USDA report later this week. In terms of the just take going absolutely by the technicals, wheat, corn, and soybeans are oversold in the short term. They have found at least short-term support. They are bouncing. Today's upward dynamic is confidence-inspiring. It suggests that somebody's buying down here. They have additional potential to at least close their overextensions relative to their 200-day moving averages. If they can sustain moves above those levels, then it would suggest that we haven't just seen a short-term low. It could potentially have been a medium-term low, but we have seen at least a near-term low in the grains and beans. Gold was a little bit easier in here today. It was down by $10. It's still at $1,666. This is the upper side of the developing range that we've had over the last 6 and 7 weeks. The silver market was reasonably volatile in here today, but it finished up on the day by 23 cents. Both platinum and palladium were in negative territory, but not by very much. Platinum finished out the day at down $1.50. It was as low as 1511, so 1511 earlier today, finished out the day at 1523. Continues to look like that there is potential for a closing of the overextension relative to the 200-day moving average and additional price appreciation for a number of the precious metals and indeed the industrial metals. Now, the industrial metals were all pretty much weaker in here today. Copper in particular was quite a bit lower intraday, but paired its decline towards the close and is finishing in the region of $3.30 on that COMEX contract. We continue to see that risk assets generally, either commodities or stock markets or corporate bonds and CDS spreads, had become really quite overextended, and they are at a minimum beginning to unwind some of that overextension. There is the potential that we've seen a medium-term low in terms of stock markets. Commodities are generally more volatile, but they were also really quite overextended to the downside and are at least unwinding the oversold condition. The US dollar was a little bit weaker in here today against the on the dollar index. It was relatively unchanged against the Australian dollar and the Canadian dollar. The dollar index has had its biggest pullback since July. The consistency of the short-term uptrend remains. There is still a progression of higher reaction lows. So far, the dollar has done nothing but unwind its short-term overbought condition. A sustained move below 77 would suggest that this is a bigger decline for the US dollar. We remain in an uncertain environment. The chances are that volatility is probably going to remain that bit higher for that bit longer. We do appear to have entered a support building phase for the majority of risk assets. And there are a large number of shares out there that need to spend some time to bolster confidence for investors. But the likelihood is getting increasingly strong that a medium-term low is in. And when looks at fundamentals, there are a number of those European markets have got rather attractive yields at present. The Greeks today were pretty much told that they're going to get their 8 billion. By the end of this month, we're going to have proposals that would be brought forward by the Germans and the French as to how they anticipate solving this problem. One can only hope that they don't think that they're going to be easily going to get treaty change through. It was hard enough to get the EFSF deal done. If they have to bring another referendum in front of the people of Ireland, and Ireland is one of the only countries that it needs a referendum before something can get passed through because of the constitution, that isn't going to be an easy prospect. More to the point, it's a lengthy prospect. It could take a year, it could take 2 years to get a serious treaty change passed through the various parliaments in Europe. So I hope that's not their only solution. One can hope that they are going to be willing to put through additional capital for the EFSF. At the moment, the Greek default has been put off for at least another couple of months, and again, that is also positive for markets. I think with that, I will leave you for the evening and wish all the best to all of you.